Blog Talk Radio.
UltimateSportsTalk.com. You can follow the tweet at Ultimate Sports, UTL Sports Talk, on Twitter. You can also hang out at GridironGirl.org, at GridironGirl. Alongside Erica Lynn Anderson, I'm Oscar Lopez. We are going to be talking NFL free agency. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the free agency today. And then we're going to jump into LFL preview of 2014, the fifth season of the LFL. Unfortunately, Pete Richmeyer will not be making it today with us. He's got some things that came up, and we hope everything's good. And we will reschedule Pete in April, but we will still do our LFL preview that we plan to do today, as well as we have the results of all the international action. We had Guam, Spain, and as well as the BAFA women up in UK. All that action, BAFA women will be up on Facebook starting Monday and Tuesday. Get the results there for the fourth round of the Sapphire Series, as well as we have the matchups in Spain, the LNFA Femenina, thanks to @FieldGo_EU, as well as @FNFF_Spain, as well as FIFA_Spain for their contributions to the results. Big matchup, and we'll talk about that towards the end of the show here, as well as Guam, two matchups in Guam, as well as the Goodwill Games on Saturday in Guam as well. So welcome, Gridiron Beauties. We are going to kick off our free agency frenzy, as we do every show at the beginning of the show, and we have some things to talk about. Just to let you know, the preview today will be brought to you by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. It's 30% off all no-joke football gear this weekend up to March 25th. You can use the code SPRINGS. So if you forget the code, no big deal. Just go to our Twitter feed and you'll find it there. So Erica, welcome aboard once again. Another weekend of free agency frenzy. Let's start with your Patriots. Probably will lose LeGarrette Blount to the Ravens or Steelers, from what I gathered. What do you think of there?
You know, not too upset over it. I mean, I like him. I think he's a good back. And he definitely showed some improvement last year, but it's not, you know, one of these things that I'm really stressing over. Belichick has a knack for kind of picking up these backs that he's able to kind of implement and use in situations that are that gain us yards. So not real upset.
All right, I thought the surprise, and we talked about last week when we had the news that Decker was going to New York. And we kind of figured you would be very happy with that situation, being a Patriots fan. but obviously, we had, you know, we didn't have enough dressing in the salad, and I guess the Jets decided to pour it on with trying to acquire Michael Vick. And rumor has it that they might even, at this point, you know, in the last hour, AP is reporting that DeSean Jackson might be part of that mix as well to New York. We exit Mark Sanchez, and now we have a competition between Geno Smith, Michael Vick, and Decker and John and Jackson. So that would be a kind of a, I don't know, a good mix, I guess. Two good, decent receivers. I don't know, Vick's aging. I'm pretty sure you will agree with that. And we have a, I don't know, a good quarterback, and you know, still growing. So a lot of questions that in Jets land for the coming season.
Yeah. This situation is like, oh, my gosh, it's like a train wreck you can't look away from. It's like, and they just keep adding cars, to, train cars that can just keep crashing on top of each other. It's like, I'm flabbergasted. I don't understand. I mean, if there's an Are You Kidding Me moment, it's now. It's insanity. I mean, you let go of Sanchez and then to free up cap space, I imagine, in a roster spot. And then you won't sign Vic. Like, what were they thinking? I just don't understand the way Rick's running. I think his brain's clogged with donuts or something, because this is an idiot move. This is, you know, we were talking about Decker and how, you know, you're paying all this money and Decker's a legit receiver, and you sign a quarterback who runs out of the pocket a majority of the time, who doesn't pass a lot. And so what was the point there? And you're going to bring in DeSean Jackson and pay money for him. Well, why? If you're going to give the roster spot to Vic, and Geno Smith just hasn't had the chance to grow and mature the way he needs to because of the circus situation in New York. You know, I mean, anybody would have a hard time, let alone a rookie. So,
yeah, you know what? I don't know if it's more of a front office mishap. I don't think I want to put on Rex Ryan totally, because, you know, the coach can only work with so many pieces that you give him. You know what I mean? So I want to give him an out if I can right now. But with the same token, I think the front office has to take some responsibility. You know, it's like you said, this is just like a puzzle that isn't fitting right. And it just means, what season is it going to fit right? You know, we haven't seen an impactful Jets team, even with talented players. Revis leaves, goes to the Bucks somewhat does default. Now he goes to Patriots. You know what I mean? There's a lot of pieces that have abandoned. Now we go Sanchez. Sanchez leaving, I agree with you, maybe money issue, cap space and all that. But, you know, let's put a scenario. Let's say Sanchez goes to Buffalo, of all places, within the same division, and maybe they make something out of him there. Or maybe he goes to the Browns, which, you know, God, only Jesus will know that side in Cleveland, of course. But, you know, there's options for Sanchez to go at other places and maybe be productive. If he goes to another team and somehow he excels as a number one quarterback, let's say, or even a backup status, but a number one quarterback on a position team like maybe St. Louis or Green Bay, then you're going to see the fact that maybe it was a front office / coaching issue in New York. You know, it could be that way.
Yeah. I think we could probably all agree it's most certainly a front office coaching issue. I don't think you have recurring problems like this and recurring idiotic decisions like this and not have it be a management issue as a whole. You know, Rex Ryan, obviously, I mean, he, I would think, would kind of make and say, hey, this player or this player. But, you know, front office does have to play a part in that. But it'll be interesting to see Mark Sanchez go somewhere and if he gets a starting spot to see what he does. Because, you know, the Jets drafted Sanchez, and so we've never seen Sanchez outside of the Jets model. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he operates outside of that and whether maybe he really is a good quarterback and we just don't know because the Jets are so terrible. So that'll be
something. You know, I look at Sanchez as in the same motion that Steve Young was. You know, Tampa Bay, not so much of an impact. Then we go to the Niners, and then here was an impact.
Yeah.
So I really think, you know, if Sanchez wants to renew his career in the NFL, he will go to a different team and then maybe make a statement that way. And if he goes to Buffalo, as you know, as some people have assumed, if he does make it to Buffalo for some reason, within the division and decides to make something of himself, now that would be, you know, what I call the comeback or revenge mode without having to do anything or say anything. So we'll see how that works out. The other thing is Carolina kind of dismantling themselves. I think it's a money issue there, a little bit of money issue, cap issues and stuff. But they added the Bucs receiver, Taquan Underwood. They lost Steve Smith, like we talked about before, to the Ravens. They also lost LaFell. They add Joe Webb as a security blanket for Cam Newton, from the Vikings. They pick up Jericho Cothery from Pittsburgh, which Pittsburgh did not want to renew there. So what do you think of Carolina at this point?
Wow, yeah, they're making a lot of moves. It's kind of, I think it's disconcerting when a team has made that many moves. And I don't know, I mean, I'm not super familiar with, you know, with Carolina, but, you know, I like Tyquan Underwood. I've always thought he's been pretty good. Cothery, he's kind of older, isn't he? Isn't he kind of getting up there? He's been around a while.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not a
bad receiver, but he's not a go-to receiver. That's how we want to put it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, really, with how much Newton runs out of the pocket, they don't need these big-time receivers just because of how much, you know, Newton is able – they're able to rely on Newton running out of the pocket. But, you know, that those are a lot of moves. I don't know if I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation, I guess, when you're making that many transactions. I don't know if it's something to be worried about or not.
Now, the other surprise is the Raiders. The Raiders making some moves. they have a lot of cap space, kind of like Denver in a lot of ways. So they're adding Matt Schaub. And they get a sixth-round pick, obviously, in 2015. And then they add Justin Tuck. It looks like, you know, Oakland always becomes the graveyard for some of these people that didn't work out in other places. And we've seen the history of this. It's kind of like a bad story. You know, we've seen the history repeat of quarterback after quarterback. I don't think they've had a stable quarterback that you can call a franchise quarterback since Rich Gannon left.
No. The Jamarcus Russell debacle, they've got Terrell Pryor there. Who else do they have there? They've got Matt McGloin there. I mean, I don't know. It's like they're collecting these, you know, cast-offs, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll come over here, see if we can make something. And then all they end up doing is spending a bunch of money and getting last in their division. I mean, I don't know. How they think that Matt Schaub, I still like Matt Schaub. I know, you know, he kind of was self-destructed in Texas, but I still like Matt Schaub. I think that if anybody can do anything with that team, it would be him. But, I mean, really the Raiders don't have much of anything else. It's kind of comical to watch the Raiders do things because they just are like, put their hands up and, oh, me, I'll take it. And people are scratching their heads, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and I think, injury-prone running back, McFarland is really good when he's on point and he's injury-free. Schaub does give them a better quarterback that they've had in the last 2 years in my eyes. So we'll see, see where, the general manager, I think his name is Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen, general manager there. He's obviously trying to restructure this whole team for a better run than last year, and being the fact that the result was not a good one, Matt Schaub is an upgrade, I guess, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he is. And didn't they just last couple years didn't they sign Woodson?
Yes.
Hasn't he been on their team? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Woodson's pretty good. I mean, you know, so maybe they're trying. I don't know. They're just kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go with the same theme. We have Matt Schaub mentality here. So what do the Texans do now, Erica? Do you think they'll take Blake Bortles given Schaub's departure?
Yes. I think that if they're really thinking, you know, let's build, they need to go with a good quarterback, you know, draft pick, and do that with their first pick. So they can build their team, you know, get this kid and really shape them. And, you know, this is how we want to go. I mean, their defense, you know, the Texans have never lacked defense, the last couple of years. They've always been great there, but their offense needs work. And I think that that's where they need to build. And it starts with that quarterback position. I mean, look what Kansas City did, you know. I mean, they didn't go to the draft, but they went with, you know, Alex Smith when they acquired him. and they just said, let's build. And look what they were able to do last year. It was quite the turnaround. You know, had first-round draft pick and took the old lineman to protect, you know, Smith. And I think that the Texans kind of need to mold themselves after that and just start building. And taking a,
you know,
a good quarterback would be the start.
I really think Houston's not a bad team. They lost. I mean, they were like the Detroit of a couple years ago. Remember when they were losing by a field goal? They were losing by a touchdown. So they're not a bad team. I mean, in other words, they don't have a bad roster. They have good offensive weapons. They have a good defensive front. Their secondary might be a little, you know, a little weak, but overall, you know, they're a good team. And if you get, I think they picked up Fitzpatrick, if I'm correct. They have Fitzpatrick now.
Yeah.
Maybe groom Blake Bortles at this point. That would be one of those things where, you know, this team, like you said, could literally become the Kansas City rebound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And I think that draft pick is where they need to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the case with them. They really need to. And then they added safety, I think, from Kansas City. They added Kendrick Lewis from Kansas City, who's pretty athletic.
Oh.
So we'll see how you know, that works out there. The other question mark is, the Steelers. The Steelers at Lance Moore from New Orleans, who has dropped off this past season, but he has had a couple injuries in the past. So does Big Ben need wide receiver weapons at this point? I mean, we talked about how Jericho Cotri left, not a real threat. Not since Plexico Burress left has the Steelers have had real consistent, you know, big threat receivers.
Yeah, I think you do. I think Ben Roethlisberger he does need weapons. I mean, you can't expect any quarterback, even the mobile ones, to really succeed unless you give them a couple of weapons. And it seems like, you know, they haven't had much there in Pittsburgh for a while. And another issue for Pittsburgh. I don't watch a lot of Steelers games, but from the ones I did watch, it seems like their offensive line needs a lot of work. It seemed like there was a ton of pressure on Roethlisberger that, you know, and especially if he doesn't have weapons, I mean, what is the guy going to do? So I think they need to beef up their O-line, and I think they need to get him some weapons, and I think that that will go a long way in helping them, you know, get good again.
Yeah, and that's the key right there is, If you can't afford a quarterback, some balance either on offense with the running game, or you know, with the passing game, it just means offensively that they're going to struggle. So some of the things that maybe I didn't mention, is there anything else that off the free agency wire that we didn't tap into?
No, I think just the possibility of Jared Allen going to Seattle, which would be a huge score for them. And I think it'd be a good place for Jared Allen to go. I think he would excel there. He's a great player. But that was the other big news that I saw this week.
All right. So we're going to keep tabs on the free agency market. And then we'll, you know, week to week this next week and the week after. And then getting ready for the draft, like I said, we're going to see if we can bring in a couple people that are key insights on that in the next couple weeks as we build to the path to the draft here on the Blitz. We're going to go into the LFL preview. LFL preview is going to be brought to you by Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties. And like I said at the beginning of the show, you can get 30% off all No Joke football shirts up to March 25th. So go to Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties. The LFL fifth season is going to start on April 5th, so it's about 13 days away from kickoff. And it's going to kick off at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee as the Green Bay Chill will be taking on the champion Chicago Blitz. Chicago actually adds a foreign threat at cornerback, which is Cherie Onley, who came over from the New South Wales Surge, which they just won their championship here in about 2 months ago in the LFL Australia slate. So she is going to be an uplift there. They still have various weapons at their disposal. They had Allie Alberts as well. They have Chris Del Harris, Heather Furr. So Coach Hack really has this team put them together in a motion of the Los Angeles Temptations 3-season run championship. So we'll see if the Blitz and has somehow make it back-to-back titles this season, given their weapons that they have. And then they have a very good core of players. They got Chantel Taylor, also Yashi. So defensively, the Bliss proved last year that they were able to win it all. The other team coming into the fifth season is the Seattle Mist. Seattle Mist, they missed the playoffs. They missed it. They got beat by the Bliss. The Mist were the highest hyped team all season. They were the best team all season last year, and somehow they ran into a roadblock in the playoff mode. When it counted, Seattle did not come through. So it's a high-pressure season for the Mist. This is their rebound season. They have to get it together. They have Angela Ripken coming back from Baltimore. I do not know how well she will basically come into the scene in Mist land and see if she can give them an upgrade from Laurel Creel, who obviously played a very good season but is not returning this season. So Angela Ripken leads the Mist into the 2014 season, and they're adding some BC Angels as well. So Marianne Hansen, Stevie Snore, and a couple players from the BC Angels of LFL Canada, they're going to be contributing to the Mist. So Seattle needs to really step it up if they want to be in the playoff mix and they really want to prove themselves in the playoffs. There's a couple teams that were lost during the season. The Philadelphia Passion and the Minnesota Valkyrie will no longer be in the league this season. It is hopeful that they will be in the league for next season. The breaking news about a week ago was that Gino Payne, who was the LFL producer and on-site camera guy, and Patrick Rooley, who was basically an editor and producer inside, that have departed. Rumor has it they are going to USC to obviously make some more money than they were making in the LFL. They will be greatly missed. So they announced that their new team is Courtney Sewick, ESPN Chicago reporter, who's going to be assisting in the production of the LFL fifth season. So we'll see how the production on YouTube changes based on the fact that we have Payne and Rooley leaving. So that's kind of a factor there. Las Vegas Sin added Coach Tui in the offseason after the departure of Jeremiah. So Coach Tui will now lead the Sin. They add Dominique Schuler from the suspended Minnesota Valkyrie squad. They lose YouTube sensation and ESPN star quarterback Nikki Johnson, who is now playing in the WFA Outdoor League. So they lose her. I don't know who's going to be quarterbacking at this point. None of the rosters have been finalized for us to get a good gauge as to how the squads are going to do. They still have Danica Brace, obviously, on defense. They have a good defensive team there. They're adding Ashley Brazil from the Queensland Brigade of the LFL Australia as well. It's an import there. The question mark coming into the season will be the Los Angeles Temptation. Coach Chan did not do a good job last year. They obviously had a game that was not played, and they still didn't come through. These are the former champs. It's a matter of rebuilding, and they're adding Carmen Bursault from last season's Las Vegas Sin. The staple team there, like I said, without the roster being set at this point, we don't know who the pieces are. We do know Monique Gaxiola coming off her LFL Australia Championship with the new Southwest Surge will still be there. So we will see in the next week or two when the rosters are finalized where these teams stand. But at this point, L.A., this has got to be a rebound year for them. They have to make a statement game after winning the title for so long. They missed out last year. I'm pretty sure they want to come back to it. Omaha would be the next surprise. The big news there was the Cleveland Crush, who moved to Toledo, become the Toledo Crush in Cleveland. They end up having Teresa Petrozillo go to the Omaha Heart along with quarterback Lindsay Noble. Should be a good mix there and a good fit. As well as you have Shantae Cherie in that mix, Lindsay Burton as well. So Omaha Heart sounds to me like they're going to be the top East team if they can get it together. They put a very good competition against Jacksonville last year, against the Jacksonville Breeze. They've matched up very well against the top team. Now that Philadelphia is no longer in the mix for this season, Jacksonville becomes the top team in the East, and now they have to prove their worth. KK Matheny, you got a bunch of pieces together in Jacksonville. You got Sage Steinsman, There's a lot of talent in Jacksonville. There should be no reason why they are the favorites this year. So that's pretty much a preview of the LFL US fifth season. If you need information on the schedule will be on LFLUS.com. Some of the key dates and matchups that we were talking about for the preview, obviously the opener, the Blizz take on the Chill at Milwaukee. A lot of question marks in terms of what the roster will look like for the Chill, and we'll find out how that happens out there. The other big date is April 26th as the Las Vegas Sin visit the LA Temptation in Ontario. So that's the return of Coach Tui, former coach of the LA Temptation, now coach of the Sin, and he gets on to meet his former team, first time as rivals, and we will see how Vegas fares up against LA. They always played a really good matchup, and they have Vegas has a history versus LA of an upset, so that's a good rivalry there. Friday, May 9th, it's going to be Temptation versus the Bliss, and that goes back to 2009 every year. L.A. versus Chicago. L.A. has owned the series except for last year when the Bliss obviously came up with that upset win, and they proved themselves obviously by winning the championship. Saturday, April 9th, you've got Omaha Heart versus the Jacksonville Breeze, kind of a rematch. The Heart beat Jacksonville on a great defensive game, 8-0 last season, so that should be a great matchup, Omaha versus Jacksonville. It's kind of an Eastern Conference powerhouse, similar to the Miss versus the Temptation in the West. Then Friday, June 13th, Seattle takes on the champs, the Chicago Bliss. This is a rematch of last year's playoff. We will see if the Mists are ready this time for the Bliss. And then August 2nd, it's the big showdown in the West, the Pacific Showdown, which is Seattle taking on LA once again. So you can go to LFLUS.com to get all the schedule update for the preview and for the new season on in the fifth season. So they have lined up a great season. We will see what the results are at the end. Tomorrow, LFL Australia will announce two new teams for the 2015 season. So you can get the notice on Twitter or Facebook as it is announced. And then LFL is going to announce the top 50 hottest athletes since 2009 this coming week. So keep an eye for that. So, Erica, I'm out of breath, actually. I don't know if it's a lot of... spot on the preview there.
That was a lot. Yeah.
So it's going to be a great season, hopefully. And it turns out, you know, this is their fifth season. It's kind of historic in women's sports to survive 5 years in a row, especially when these players are not getting paid and the league is basically still just growing. So we'll see what the end result is if, you know, when the season actually comes about on April 5th.
So now, with these teams that I think we discussed last week, with these teams that are, you know, closing down, I guess you could say, that was in the LFL, right?
Yeah, in the LFL this season, the Philadelphia market and the Minnesota market, I guess, were not, from what we gathered from the league, was not conducive to, expenditures. Attendance wasn't really good. They played in a big outdoor stadium last year, and it wasn't, you know, obviously beneficial for the league to have the team this year. They're going to restructure it for the next season. Same thing happened in Minnesota. So that's the reason for the two teams.
Can these girls then, I don't know if, you know, if these rosters haven't been finalized yet, can these girls just kind of walk on, or would they have to try out if they wanted to play this year where their teams are you know, not playing? Do you know how that works?
Yeah, they can move to a different city and then play for that team, but they'd have to move up to the city for themselves. So, but other than that,
wow.
Like I said, the rosters aren't finalized yet, so we don't even know where they're at this point. So hopefully in the next week or two. Before we get out of here, I want to just give a shout-out. Great matchup. Barbera rookies win 40-38 versus the Black Demons. You can catch it on our Twitter feed. The Demons were up 22-6 at halftime. And the Barbera rookies came back and scored 28 points to win. And then you also have the overtime win between the Drac girls taking on the Saragossa Mustangs. Mustangs in overtime win 26-20 in the LNFA Spain matchup of the week. So catch us on Twitter for a little of the information. I believe we got a couple minutes here, right, if I'm correct?
We got 20 seconds.
20 seconds. No pressure.
Yeah.
And the Guam scene as well, Island Stunners in the WFL win against the Rough Riders 40-0. as well as the GWTFL Week 1. The results will be on Twitter and Facebook. So thanks to UltimateSportsTalk.com as well as GridironGirls.org. So we will see you guys next week. Erica, if you have anything else, I know probably out of time at this point, but we'll see you guys next week on Gridiron Blitz for more free agency news.
Bye, everybody.
See you later, guys. Bye.